Hey there, welcome to the deep dive. So you've been on this linguistics kick lately, huh? Chomsky and all that.
Yeah, heavy stuff.
Right. And just when you thought it couldn't get any more complex, gonna stir the pot a bit.
Because why not, right?
Exactly. We're talking AI today, specifically those large language models like, you know, ChatGPT.
The ones writing poetry and whatnot. Pretty wild.
Seriously. It's making everyone rethink, like, everything about how language works.
And whether Chomsky's theories still hold up in this brave new world of, well, talking machines, basically.
Right, because Chomsky's big thing was always that language is this innate human ability. Like, we're born with a universal grammar preloaded.
Hardwired, yeah. But then you have these AI systems pumping out Shakespearean sonnets, and they've never even seen a grammar rulebook.
It's true. It's all about the data for them, right? Like, mountains and mountains of text.
Oceans of it, more like. And they just swim around in it until, boom, they can write a screenplay.
So where does that leave us? Chomsky says we're hardwired. AI says it's all about the data.
And that's where Stephen Kanadosi comes in. He just dropped this paper. And the title alone is a punch to the gut. Modern language models refute Chomsky's approach to language.
Refute is a fighting word. So what's the gist of his argument? What makes him so sure?
Basically, he's claiming these large language models don't just challenge Chomsky. They kind of make his whole field obsolete. Like, we don't need generative linguistics anymore. AI's got this.
Obsolete. Whoa. Okay, so back up a sec. How do these models even work? Are they just, like, supercharged predictor text or something?
Kind of, but on a whole other level. They learn by predicting the next word in a sequence, right? But the sheer scale is mind-blowing. And they're constantly being refined, getting feedback, and adjusting.
So instead of understanding grammar like we do, they're picking up on patterns, probability.
Exactly. And that's where it gets really interesting. Pianodosi, he gives this example. He asked ChatGPT to write a story about an ant sinking an aircraft carrier.
An ant sinking a what? Okay, that's oddly specific. Why that?
That's the point. He wanted to see if it could actually be creative. Could it go beyond just rearranging phrases it had already seen?
So could it? Did it write the story?
Oh, it did. And it's brilliant. Grammatically perfect, coherent story, beginning, middle, end. Even throws in details about buoyancy, like things most humans wouldn't even consider.
Wait, so this AI, knowing nothing about ships or ants beyond the words themselves, wrote a good story. That's impressive.
Right. And that's how Pantidosi starts picking apart some of Chomsky's key ideas.
Okay, hold on a sec. That ant story is pretty wild, but I got to ask, these AI models, they've got like the entire internet to learn from, right?
Yeah, it's a bit of an unfair advantage, isn't it?
Right. So how can we even compare that to a kid learning language? They're not exactly swimming in data like that.
It's a good point. It's not a perfect comparison, that's for sure.
Mm.
But the potential these models have, even with that in mind, it's kind of the point, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, we're still in the early stages with this tech. It's like comparing the Wright brothers to a frickin' spaceship. We barely scratched the surface.
So you're saying that as they improve, they might not even need as much data.
Exactly. There's already research showing that they can pick up a surprising amount of grammar from a fraction of the data they're normally fed.
Really? That's interesting. So all that data helps them get good at different writing styles. But the core mechanics of language, maybe that's something else.
Right. I was reading this study. It's pretty dense, but basically they found that even with a tiny sliver of their usual training data, these AI models, they were still picking up on grammar rules. It's pretty amazing.
Huh. So maybe the amount of data needed to grasp language, even for AI, isn't as massive as we thought.
Potentially. And that does make you think about Chomsky's poverty of the stimulus argument, doesn't it?
Right. His whole thing was that kids, they don't hear enough examples of complex grammar to learn it all by themselves. So they got to have some innate knowledge helping them along.
Right. Exactly. But if AI can learn comparable grammar with way less data, does that kind of poke a hole in that theory?
Right. It's like maybe our brains are just way better at spotting patterns and figuring out rules than we give them credit for.
It really makes you wonder, maybe we don't come preloaded with a whole grammar textbook, but with a crazy good pattern recognition system that can take limited input and just run with it.
That's a huge challenge to Chomsky's whole thing, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. These AI models are shaking things up left and right, which is exciting.
Okay, so about this whole obsolete claim, that's a tough pill to swallow, right? Especially for folks who've spent years studying generative linguistics. It's got to be unnerving.
Obsolete might be a bit dramatic, I'll grant you that. I mean, Chomsky's work was revolutionary. He really pushed the field forward in terms of rigorous analysis, asking the big questions.
but you're not totally sold on the obsolete idea.
Look, his focus on the cognitive side of language was huge, but the field can't just stop there, right? We have to keep moving. And I think that's really what Canadosi's getting at.
So less about tossing Chomsky out completely and more about recognizing there are new ways to approach this.
Exactly. These AI models, they're a total game changer.
Yeah.
We have to be open to these new perspectives, even if they challenge what we thought we knew.
It's like those moments in science where a new discovery turns everything upside down, makes everyone go back to the drawing board.
Exactly. And the best part, it's not just linguistics anymore. It's bringing everyone together, linguists, computer scientists, psychologists. It's truly interdisciplinary.
A real meeting of the minds.
Right. And who knows what amazing discoveries are waiting for us as we dig deeper into this AI and human cognition intersection.
Okay, so that's all well and good for the future and all, but let's bring it back down to earth for a sec. For our listeners out there who are knee-deep in Chomsky right now, what's the takeaway? What should they be thinking about?
Don't abandon ship just yet, but be open to these new ideas. These AI models, they're showing us we've still got so much to learn about language, and they're giving us incredible new tools to do it with.
Okay, so we've seen how these large language models are shaking things up, challenging some of Chomsky's big ideas. But like any good scientific debate, there's got to be another side to this, right?
And absolutely. Not everyone's ready to ditch Chomsky and crown AI the new language king just yet. There's some pretty strong counter arguments out there.
Okay, good point. So where do people push back the most? What are the main critiques of Pianodosi's claims?
Well, one of the big ones is this whole idea of true understanding. Like, these AI models, they're great at mimicking how language looks, the structure. But do they really get the meaning behind it the way we do? It's debatable.
So they can write a perfect sentence, grammatically speaking, but they might miss the nuances, the intent, the emotion that we humans, we just pick up on without even thinking about it.
Right. Like, you can program a computer to win at chess, but can it tell you why a joke is funny? Not really.
Okay, I see what you mean. But how does that play out in, like, real-world examples?
Think about sarcasm. We can tell when someone's saying something they don't actually mean, right?
Yeah.
Tone of voice, facial expressions, the context. AI models, at least for now, they really struggle with that.
Yeah, sarcasm's like a whole other language sometimes. But does Pianodosi address that at all? Does he acknowledge these limitations?
He does. He admits that while these models are generating amazing text, they're not so great at higher level reasoning. Logic, common sense, you know, metaphors, jokes, that kind of thing still trips them up.
So they might fool us with a poem or a movie script, but they're not going to be winning any philosophical debates anytime soon.
Not yet, anyway. But that's what makes this whole thing so fascinating, isn't it? It makes you appreciate just how complex the human mind really is. All the stuff we take for granted when it comes to language.
For sure. We're comparing ourselves to supercomputers, and we're still holding our own in some pretty important ways. So where does that leave us? What does it all mean for our understanding of language?
Well, I think one big takeaway is we got to move beyond this idea of syntax as the separate thing, which is what Chomsky has been saying forever. We need to look at how syntax works with meaning, with context, with all the experiences and knowledge we bring to the table as humans.
It's a more, like, holistic approach.
Exactly. And these AI models, they can be a huge help with that. They're like these powerful new tools we can use to test our theories, see how different parts of language interact, maybe even uncover new principles we haven't even thought of yet.
So it's not about Chomsky versus AI. It's about using these new insights to really move the field forward.
Exactly. It keeps things interesting, right?
Yeah.
It pushes us to ask better questions. Reminds us that even language, something we think we understand, is still full of surprises.
I am here for the surprises. But before we get too abstract, you mentioned earlier that Pianodosi takes this even further, right? He suggests these AI models could change how we think about human evolution itself. How so?
Well, think about it. If these AI models can learn language without any innate language-specific structures...
Which is a big if for some people, let's be real.
Totally. But if they are, it kind of throws a wrench into that traditional view of language as this sudden, miraculous leap in human evolution. That whole one day we were apes, the next we were writing sonnets narrative.
Right, like language was this separate module that just popped up out of nowhere.
Exactly. But if AI can learn language just by analyzing patterns and data, maybe language itself evolved more gradually, building on things we already had, things we share with other animals, like pattern recognition, memory, social intelligence.
So instead of language being this separate special skill, it could be more like an extension of our general cognitive abilities, shaped by like our need to communicate and socialize.
Exactly. It's a much more organic way of looking at it. And it actually lines up with some newer theories in cognitive science that see language not as this separate thing, but as deeply connected to everything else going on in our brains.
It's like we're all part of this big, messy evolutionary experiment, figuring out how to connect with each other and make sense of the world. Which kind of brings us back to that fundamental question, what makes us human?
Right, and maybe the answer isn't about some magical language gene, but about how our brains evolve to learn and adapt and create in these really unique ways.
Okay, so much to think about. But we've thrown a lot of info at our listeners today. Let's bring it back down for a second.
Back to basics.
One last Chomsky critique. Lay it on me.
Okay, so Piantedosi argues that Chomsky's whole approach to linguistics, his methodology, it's flawed. He's too focused on these big abstract theories, not enough on actually testing them against real-world data.
So instead of looking at how language is actually used, it's more about these elegant universal rules that in reality might not hold up.
Exactly. And Piantedosi sees this as a huge roadblock. We need to be more rigorous, more willing to let go of theories that don't pan out when you look at the data.
Which is where, once again, these AI models come in. They're not just mimicking language. They're giving us this incredible data set to test our theories against.
Right. It's like a giant language lab where we can experiment with different models, tweak the parameters, see what happens. It's a whole new way of doing linguistics.
I got to say, this is making me rethink everything I thought I knew about language. It's exciting, but kind of overwhelming, too.
Totally. It's a lot to process.
Yeah.
But that's what's so great about it. It's pushing us to think bigger, question our assumptions, embrace new ways of understanding this fundamental part of being human.
And maybe, just maybe, by studying these machines, we'll learn something new about ourselves along the way.
That's the dream, right? Using these tools to unlock the secrets of language, of the mind, of what it means to be human.
I love it. All right, folks, we've reached the end of our deep dive for today. But as always, we want to leave you with something to ponder. Some food for thought.
Keep those brain gears turning.
Right. So here it is. If these AI models can achieve so much without any built-in language knowledge, if it's all about data and algorithms, what does that say about the limits of human learning?
Ooh, good one.
Right. We've been so focused on how AI challenges Chomsky, but what if the implications go way beyond that?
What if we're just scratching the surface here?
What if this is just the beginning?
Something to think about.
Definitely. Until next time on The Deep Dive, keep exploring, keep asking those big questions, and keep those brains buzzing.